We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. Indeed, we do wish we were celebrating a bit more, but there's still a ton of wonderful things in life to celebrate, so we are going to do that all weekend long. There's still a lot of business around baseball, so today for the show, we're going to look at the fun world of sports cards and a great business based right in Waupun, Wisconsin, Real Sports Cards. But first, I wanted to have Adam Roberts from the WTMJ newsroom join us right off the bat because interesting things happening at our local brewery at Molson Coors. A strike with the machinist and aerospace workers yesterday. Adam joins us to give us the latest. Adam, first, thanks for taking the time.
Not a problem, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Yes. So, did you talk to any of the union members yesterday to kind of get their personal insights as to why they're striking?
I did. So today, Friday, is now day three of this strike, which began on Wednesday. It involves about 43 machinists who are unionized under IAMAW. I talked with a couple of those striking workers on Thursday. One of them's named Jose Flores, and he shared some insight on what exactly the machinists are striking over.
It was basically just trying to get fair contract communication so we can work together with the company and get on the same page, basically. Not even necessarily wages, but work-life balance and stuff that is important with us and our families and a lot of different, you know, insurance issues, just, you know, stuff like that.
So, Jeff, we've seen a lot of strikes in other industries. We just had the port strike. Yeah. Have a tentative solution. Now UAW's threatening again, and a lot of that is over wage growth. But this strike feels much more about the fringe benefits of the position, having more vacation time, having better insurance policies, and that seems to be what the difference is right now.
Yeah. So from the consumer lens, do you see or did you hear about any potential supply chain disruptions or reduced production?
So I reached out to Molson Coors, and their comms director sent me a statement saying in part that they do not anticipate, due to the number of employees striking versus the grander Molson Coors brewery we have here in Milwaukee, they do not, at least at this point, anticipate supply issues. However, it is, again, just day three. Mm-hmm. As we know, when these strikes take longer, we start to see those impacts grow. At least, though, right now, they are not expecting any major consumer product availability issues.
So no price impact then you expect? I mean, you know, people always hear this and they're like, oh, I just saw at my grocery store, the prices went up, and they want to blame it on a strike.
My instinct is telling me, having covered these kinds of strikes in the past, that probably not.
Yeah. Okay. And then I always got to ask about consumer sentiment. You know, that there's Milwaukee and Miller. There's a brand loyalty here. Brand loyalty isn't what brand loyalty used to be, but still, you know, consumers have a lot of choice. Do you think this would impact that choice from a consumer standpoint?
I'm not sure. I mean, historically, the 1953 massive brewery strike in Milwaukee, while it did do damage to our position as the capital of brewing, right. I mean, we're still Brew City, so clearly we rebounded from that. I did ask Flores about showing solidarity during the movement.
I understand that contractually they might not be able to, being in different unions, but it's always good to have support from every area of it, you know, of every avenue of people who just want fair contract work practices, you know.
So I had asked him if he was expecting any other brewery workers to join and for those ranks to grow, and he said, you know, because of union contracts, that might not legally be possible, but again, to his sentiment, he's hoping that the grander community will come and support.
Yeah. And any broader industry impacts?
I would say it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
Again, we're in day three. I would say as time moves on and if more employees do begin to show, whether it's Miller or others, I mean, Miller is not the only brewing industry we have in the city, and it is an interesting time both for large and craft brewing as well when it comes to workers' rights. So we will see. But I think it's too early to tell it right now.
Very good. Adam Roberts from the WTMJ Newsroom joining us first up this morning on The Upswing. Appreciate your insights and enjoy the rest of the day.
You as well, Jeff.
For sure. Coming up next, we're going to talk sports cards, the value, selling, buying, and the business of it all. And I got to give you some of my thoughts on the Brewers game last night. I'll give it from the lens of a couple Mets fans that I met at the Milwaukee Public Market yesterday. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Friday morning Upswing Coffee Index. Soaking up our Brewers sorrows a little bit. I got to tell you, in the Sherman family, it's our son's birthday today. So we had a big day. We had a big order this morning, Jazz. Two breakfast sandwiches for the kids, two drinks, a dozen donut holes, a half dozen of Dunkin' Donuts. $40.64, Jazz. Like,
that's a heck of a breakfast, man, but oh,
I'm spending the whole week's coffee budget.
That's like almost like a decent restaurant for two.
I know.
I don't know.
Oh, well. I don't know. Maybe.
Happy birthday to your son, though.
Hey, thank you. Where'd you go this morning?
So I didn't travel far because I wasn't really sure what I was doing. I wanted to make sure I got in early, got stuff ready to go. And then I went to the Midway Bakery just right across from us.
Oh, okay.
And me being me, I got a cookie too. So, but they were both essentially $4. It's a little pricey up in the market hall, but you're kind of paying for convenience. So,
right.
It was okay. I need a sweet treat to kind of drown my sorrows because,
yeah, I know. That's right. Well, that's okay. We spent a little bit more today, but you know, I think we needed it, and that's okay. It's Friday. All right. That is the Upswing Coffee Index, always keeping you alert as to the ever-changing price of your morning brew. So Tom Kulcheski joins us this morning. And Tom, like a lot of us probably, wanted to be a professional baseball player. Never quite landed that dream as a player. But you could say that he's rounded all the bases for sure. He grew up playing basketball after college at Illinois State. He spent 11 seasons in and around minor league baseball, many with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Then along the way, I don't know, this brings me back to young Jeff Sherman. He had this passion around sports cards and baseball cards. And in 2016, with a fourth child along the way, he decided to try his hand at selling cards online. And at the time, he didn't really know that, hey, this was going to lead to, you know, a full-time business, a retail store, shipping cards worldwide. But opened up a retail store in downtown Waupun called Real Sports Cards. And today it's a thriving business right there in Waupun. Tom, thanks for taking the time. I know you went to the game last night. So first, as a sports dad, as a baseball guy, I got to get your impressions of the game.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. Leaving the game, I've never left a game like that.
Yeah.
In the orderly fashion and people sobbing in the stands. It was so somber. And yeah. And then you hear the Mets celebrating on the field. I hate the Mets, by the way. And I felt really bad for the Brewer fans, the front office employees, the people that worked so hard and just to finish like that.
But, yeah. As we were talking before the show, my son and his friend went to the game. And I, as a dad, I feel like, whoa, that was a life lesson game. Like, you get everything in life in that crystallized 3 hours at the ballpark, the highs, the lows, the cheering with your fellow teammates and the community. But you know that life goes on afterwards. But it's tough to swallow, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the most fun 8 innings I've ever had at the stadium.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes.
That's right. Life goes up and down, but it's always on the upswing. So tell us a little bit about your business and how's business in downtown Waupun these days?
Downtown Waupun's good. Our business is 99% of the sales are online.
Okay.
And we have our own app called the Real Sports Card app where we do card breaks. You can download on the Apple Play and the Google Store. So,
nice.
But we opened the the physical store in 21, we bought a building because we really needed to move the business out of our house. That was the main thing.
All right.
And I've always wanted to own a baseball card shop. So we said, well, if we're going to move this crazy online business out of our house, let's find a cool building in a nice downtown that we can invest in and have the physical store. And so the store does well. It's a really a destination store, you know, where we have people coming from an hour plus to buy boxes and single cards. So it's pretty cool. I've really enjoyed it.
And how many people are you employing now?
So I think at our La Pond, Wisconsin, we're about 13.
And
most of them are all full-time with benefits. And we have a great staff, very knowledgeable, that works really, really hard. They're working hard while I'm hanging out here.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and
good.
And then my buddy Ryan we have a real sports card store in Minneapolis area. So between the two of us, and he 100% owns that.
Okay.
And then ours. Between the two of us, we're about 25 full-time equivalent.
Okay. All right. So we're still on this Brewers funk. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about the importance of winning and card value. And then I want to talk a little bit about Pete Rose, Robin Yount, and Jackson Chourio. Obviously, you know, everyone's focus on Chourio this year, but what's that rookie card look like from a value standpoint? And if you have cards, you got sons, daughters, grandkids, you got cards that you're just looking at, you're wondering, wow, what is this card worth? The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. I brought a few of my cards. Tom is here to give us the business of sports cards. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Glory days. Well, pass you by, glory days. And the wine of a young girl's eye, glory days. Glory days. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Tom Kolscheski from Real Sports Cards in Waupun. Tom, as you look at kind of, we all wanted a deep dive, a deep run into the playoffs. How important is winning and losing to your business and the impact of what it has on the value of a certain player's card?
Yeah. Rookies drive wax prices.
Yeah.
And a rookie like Jackson Chourio, winning and then performing on a national stage is tremendous value.
Yeah.
You know, if Jackson Chourio would have got up last night and hit a walk-off homer, his cards have already doubled this week. They would quadruple in value.
Yeah.
And it gets, there's a lot of hype amongst collectors. They know who he is. They know he was prospecting the minors, but to perform on a big stage is enormous.
And then, you know, the same thing on the losing side, does that enthusiasm gap then hurt a value of a card?
You know, not as much as you say. You know, one of the most sought after players is Mike Trout. Mike Trout's never won
the
majors. So not as bad as you think.
Okay. All right. So it's about kind of driving that superstar status and visibility and impact as a player overall.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So then I have to ask, you know, with Pete Rose passing away recently, how does the legacy of a Pete Rose, and if I had, you know, let's say I got a Pete Rose rookie card that's in great shape. What's that value post death? Is it much, much larger?
No.
No. Interesting.
Here's the thing. Pete Rose is 83, right?
Yeah.
You knew Pete Rose is going to die in the next 20 years, right? So his death, and Pete Rose had the great stats and all that. The only thing that will increase that card value is if they remove the ban and he becomes in the Hall of Fame. And the reason why on Pete Rose, because there's a lot of collectors that collect rookie cards in a PSA grade of Hall of Famers. And so that would create a bump because it would serve that market. The bump would probably go up about 30-40%, but then it would probably end up come down and settling around 10% of current value.
Okay.
That's true also of players like Harold Baines, right? So guys that you never thought were going to get in the Hall of Fame, and then they do, then people, the collectors want to gravitate to get that rookie card registry. But that is not true of players like Derek Jeter. Because we all knew when Derek Jeter retired, he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. So making the Hall of Fame, that official announcement, made no change to his
interesting. Okay. What about, I have a Robin Yount rookie card that is carefully tucked away because he's my favorite player. if I have a ideal, perfect, at least in my opinion, Robin Yount rookie card, what's that value?
That is, you have to get it graded if you want.
Okay. All right.
So,
and is that generally for any card that you think, like, hey, you got to go through the grading process if you're going to extract any big value out of cards?
Absolutely. Because not only does grading give you a condition index, but also gives you an authentication index. Mm. So Pete Rose rookie is a great example. Pete Rose rookies are faked all the time.
Mm.
So I'm very hesitant to buy a raw, non-graded Pete Rose rookie. Kind of same with Jordan, iconic cards like that. Now, a Robin Yount, when we want to say condition is everything, when they're a grading company, we use PSA. They're the big boys of grading.
Yeah.
They look at four things. They look at the centering of it. So you could have pulled it straight from the pack, but it's a little off-centered, which that's 1975 Tops. They're most all of them are off-centered, right?
Hmm.
You look at centering, you look at the condition of the edges, the surface, if there's any scratch or anything like that, or if there's any misprints, and then the corners. Just to give you an example, if you had an absolute, the last sale of, I looked this up this morning because I thought Robin Yount would be coming up.
Yeah.
The last sale of a PSA 10, Robin Yount, which is nearly impossible to get, was in 21, it sold for over $100,000. Okay?
Okay.
We'll go a nine.
Okay, so 10 is the highest.
10 is the highest.
10 is the highest you can grade a card, just to level set. Okay.
Yep. And a PSA 9 sells for around $4,500. Okay? In an 8, which is not that different from a 9, sells for $400.
Okay.
So that gives you an idea. And then when you get into a 7, you're back into this $20.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's all about grading.
All right. As we continue to talk with Tom, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Text in the cards that you're saving and you're wondering, wow, what's the value here? So in terms of what's the percentage of kind of a sports cards dealer's business that typically comes from non-baseball cards?
Yeah.
Just quickly here. We got about 20 seconds.
Okay. Not much. Probably other sports is maybe 2-3%.
Yeah.
The bigger part that's coming up is non-sports cards like Pokemon and things like that.
Interesting.
There's some really good shops where it's about 50-50
yeah.
Pokemon to sports.
All right. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. When we come back, more with Tom Kulczewski from Real Sports Cards. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A friendly reminder, the Podcast Town Festival, powered by Horicon Bank, is today at the Marcus Majestic Cinema, an immersive, interactive event featuring local podcasters from across the area. Quickly, yesterday, I had a great conversation with two Mets fans at the Milwaukee Public Market. Did some work there in the afternoon. Their two biggest observations about Milwaukee. One, they couldn't believe how inexpensive parking was. They said they expected to park at the ballpark for at least $75. So they were just blown away at $35 for parking. And then they said, we are absolutely the most friendly fan base they have ever met. And this was an exact quote. The woman said, you all are the golden retrievers of sports fans. So I'm like, all right, that's okay. So we can go out on a high note. We are good, passionate, wonderful sports fans. All right, speaking of wonderful, passionate sports fans, Tom Kulczewski from Real Sports Cards joins us. And on the line is Craig Much from Horicon Bank, the vice president of business banking. Craig, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Appreciate having me on, Jeff.
Of course. So tell us about your connection with Tom and how the bank worked to help kind of power and grow his business.
Well, I'm very fortunate to be able to work with Tom and his employees and his family. And I got to, we'll say, first get to know Tom just because of he was kind of the main talk of town in Waupun. who's this guy buying this corner old property and, you know, making it look just absolutely beautiful. And I just kind of wandered in and started talking with Tom about, we'll say, some non-banking related items. Okay. And then we got to kind of chatting about his current banking relationship. And I could tell that he needed a little bit extra guidance. He was at kind of a impasse where he was going to need some, we'll say, additional loans and whatnot. And I was just the, we'll say, fortunate one to be able to help him.
And Tom, as you were starting up the retail, the storefront component of the business, I mean, I'm sure that you had a lot of different options. Like, where can I go to get additional capital to power my business forward? What was that process for you?
It was scary, to be honest with you. You know, and Craig hit it on the head. Is I had a different bank, and I didn't go into this saying, hey, I'm going to create a business for a living. I literally started this just to, like, pay some bills for our family. So it really evolved really, really fast, and it was scary. And then when I met Craig, I was at this weird crossroads. Is like, we need to take this business to the next level. Mm-hmm. I don't think what I do in trying to explain it to someone that thinks everything fits in this little box just blows their mind. Right. And so I was having frustrations with that. And so I met Craig and explained what I did. And he was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I remember thinking, like, oh, yeah, like, we have someone that, like, acts like he gets it. And kind of, I feel like he believes in the business. And he does. You know, I've got to know Craig pretty well. And then we just said, I'm like, you know what? They can do a lot for, they can do more for our business than I ever thought they could. And so it's been really, it's been great. It's been great.
Well, and I'm sure that the business has changed so much since you started it. Talk about that in terms of the brands and just the value of cards and how you stay on top of all of it.
Yeah. So I started this as a real business, this little side business in 2016.
Okay.
So 2016 to 2019, things were going fine. They're growing. I remember in 2017, early in 2017, I ordered a product and I had a credit card and it was a $5,000 limit and I maxed it out. And I lost more sleep on that one product than I ever thought I'd do. And that's laughable now.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just kept growing.
But that's
growing.
The entrepreneurial story.
Yeah, it is.
It truly is.
I used to really reject when people called me an entrepreneur because I always thought that entrepreneur was someone that came in and said, hey, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to grow this. I just came in and said, we need money for groceries with our family situation. Mm-hmm. That's how it started out. So it was just, I was just some dad flipping baseball cards in the basement. And so we kept growing and growing. And so then the moment came when we had to move it out of our house. We had employees coming in our basement. I'm like, this is crazy. We need to move it. And so we bought this building, as Craig said, it was a disaster of a building. I spent a bunch of money making it look nice. And then I'm just like, I really should get proper banking in this. Yeah. And with Craig helped me to, you know, get a better accountant and really, really take it to the next level to become a real business, even though we were before.
No, scaling the business, that's what every entrepreneur dreams about, and you got to get the right team around you to take it to the next level, for sure. When we come back, more talk about the business of sports cards. We got a lot of texts. I'm going to go through some of my cards. Tom's going to give us the value of some of my cards and more. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Tom Kolszewski joins us from Real Sports Cards in beautiful downtown Waupun this morning. So, Tom, I want to get my hands on a Jordan Love rookie card, a Giannis rookie card, and a Jackson Chirio rookie card. How do I do that, and how do I know I'm spending the right amount of money and it's going to be, you know, good value in the future?
Sure. Those are three similar players. Those are three insanely different answers.
Interesting.
So we'll go with the current one, with Jackson Chirio. So Topps has the license for Major League Baseball.
Okay.
So Topps has had it for a very, very long time. So there's two licenses. There's a Major League Baseball where they can use the name Brewers, the logos, and things like that. And there's a license for players so they can use Jackson Chirio's likeness and his name and things like that.
Okay.
So Topps is owned by a company called Fanatics, which you may be familiar with.
Yeah.
Fanatics is a huge billion-dollar company.
Yep.
Fanatics acquired those licenses a few years ago and then bought Topps. So Topps is still around. Topps makes the best products. Topps is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So to answer that Chirio question, there's you know, you have the company Tops, but then they have multiple different brands. So they have, you know, if we're familiar with, you know, as a kid of the 80s, you had your regular packs that you bought. So
right.
We'd call those flagship.
Okay.
So there's a Series 1, there's a Series 2, and there's an update that comes out the 16th.
Okay.
So those are kind of your cards that have been around forever. But from there, it goes off in a million different directions. So there's a Chrome version called a Topps Chrome, and then there's also a Topps Chrome update. So those are shinier, a little thicker cardstock, very nice products, super, super popular. And then they have other off-brand or other brands called like Topps Finest, which is similar to Topps Chrome. There's a brand called Five Star, which a Five Star box has two cards in a box. They're both autographed. And those boxes sell for $300. So, okay.
How many cards in that box?
Two cards. They're both autographed.
Wow. Okay.
Very, very popular product.
Okay.
You know, for your regular flagship, we'll have like, I think it's 20 packs, and then each pack has like 12 to 16 cards. In a box of that, will be like around $100.
Okay. So that's really the biggest shift in the business in the last several years is that the boxes and the cards themselves from the get-go are higher priced. Or no?
Not exactly.
No.
So okay. You still have the flagship. So that's what you've always. The biggest shift is the addition to other brands.
Okay.
So the
more premium options.
Yeah, more premium options.
Okay.
So one thing you always get, you know, selling cards on the internet, you hear all the hobby hate, if you
yes.
will. One thing is always like, oh, there's nothing for kids. There's plenty of packs for kids. There's flagship. They also make a product called Big League that's really popular for kids, and other sports have those as well. So, but if you're that premium collector, you like to chase, you want like autograph cards, cards with jerseys in it, cards with a cooler, there's a million different options, you know, from that $300 box level.
Yeah.
So Topps has a product coming out next week, a basketball product. They're all Wimby cards. There's two autograph cards. And those boxes, there's eight cards in a box. And they sell for $10,000. Wow. So we have people all the time saying, like, well, that's crazy. I don't know anyone that would pay that.
Right.
The fortunate thing is I do know people that pay that. So there's
Especially all different if they collectors. Think they're going to get double their value in 10 years, 15 years, it could be a great investment.
Yeah, it could be an investment. It could be that's what you like to spend your money on.
Exactly. That's what the collectible business is all about. If you love it, if you have passion around it, that should be first and foremost. But obviously, there's a monetary component to all this. So when we come back, I want to see what the most expensive card you've ever sold is, your favorite card and why, and maybe some cards that people think are valuable but just aren't. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Really easy. Takes less than 10 minutes to complete. We want your feedback. To participate, all you have to do is text survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. You'll get the survey link sent back to you. After you complete it, you'll get entered to win two tickets to the 2024-25 Milwaukee Bucks and an overnight stay at the beautiful downtown Pfister Hotel. We are talking about the business of sports cards today. Tom, the first, I got so many texts coming in. I want to get one from the 414. Dunruss Cal Ripken Jr. rookie card. What's the value of that?
Yeah, so 82 Ripken ungraded is a $15 to $20 card.
Okay.
But this will tell you the power of grading. Wow. So if it graded a 10, which is very, very hard in that card, it's $850 to $900.
Okay.
A graded a 9 is a $50 to a $90
card. And so if I have a bunch of cards at home and I want to get two of them graded, what's that going to cost me?
Yeah, so PSA, if your card has a value of under $500, at our shop, it's $21. And we send it in, and we send it. It comes back, and you can pick it up.
Okay. Because I know a lot of people are probably in my situation. You got boxes and boxes of cards in a basement or in an attic. And I'm just, you get overwhelmed. Like, how do I know the value of all these cards? I can't just bring them in and, here's 100 cards. Tell me how much they're worth.
It's a hard one. We get that question every day. And what I always tell people is, send me a picture of what you think the three best cards are.
Okay.
Right? And if you get that picture and it's three cards from the 50s, The next question is, what's your address?
Yeah.
I'll be there in 5 minutes. The other question is, you know, if it's three cards or 1989 tops, and then you politely explain the different eras of sports cards, and you're trying to tell them why those have little to no value. So it's a fine line, because I even have in my own basement cards from when I was a kid that if they walked into our shop, I'd throw them away. But they're my cards when I was a kid, so they're worth a ton to me.
That's right. So that you have that emotional attachment,
absolutely.
Right? So what's the most expensive card you've ever sold?
So, you know, I knew you were going to ask that. People ask that all the time. It's one of the hardest questions because cards fluctuate all the time. We had a Luka Doncic rookie, impeccable, that at the time it was sold, it was probably only like $3,500, but it peaked up to like over $20,000, and it's come down since then. You know, you think of like Otani's second year, his cards were worth almost nothing. You know, everyone's, oh, he got hurt. You know, so we were selling Otani rookie autograph cards for $50 and are now worth tens of thousands of dollars. So that's a loaded question. You know, vintage cards, like some old cards, you know, $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah. Okay. What's the most requested Green Bay Packers card?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love still. Okay. Yeah, so it's not not somebody from the 60s or Aaron Rodgers. It's all about the present.
You know, so we could talk for hours about this one, but football is all about the right now.
Okay.
Right now. You know, basketball is all about the future. Baseball is all about the past.
Ooh, all right. There's some quality insight.
I've spoken
there,
an hour on like this one before in a session.
All right. What is your favorite card right now and why?
Absolutely. Easiest answer, easiest question I'll ask. 2018, Allen and Ginter is a baseball set that also includes non-baseball players. They had, in 2018, they had the older brother of Jock Peterson. He was with the Dodgers, now with the D-backs. His brother Champ, who happens to have Down syndrome. And our little guy, Malik, happens to have Down syndrome also. So pulling that card in 2018 really got emotional. It still gets emotional to me to have that.
Well, and again, that goes back to the heart of what collecting is all about. You got to have emotional, personal attachment to it. And no matter what the value is, you may want to just keep it because
absolutely.
It means a ton to you.
Absolutely. That's like if I have a Pete Alonso card, I want to sell it as quick as I can. The same thing.
Get out of here. Come on. So just quickly, what are some of the what's a card that people think is really valuable but just isn't? Is Michael Jordan a good answer to that?
That's actually the best answer to that.
Okay.
You know, Jordan rookies, Jordan early cards, but all the time you get that 1991 Jordan that has a big crease in it, but it's Michael Jordan, so it must be worth $1 million. So Jordan would be a great answer to that.
All right. Well, hey, even as we continue to transition into football and basketball, the business of baseball continues, especially through the lens of sports cards. Tom Kulczewski from Real Sports Cards, have a safe drive back to Waupun and have a wonderful weekend.
Right. Thanks for having me, Jeff.